Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
Hello, I am Noah Glover. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Evangelizing for Life with Glover. On today's program, Evangelist Steve Glover will discuss missions and the sacrifice associated with being a witness. Join the conversation by calling in to area code 646-200-4200. Now here is Evangelist Glover.
Grace to you and peace from our God and Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to be with you again today. Today our topic will be discussing missionaries and what does it mean to be a witness. Jesus said that you will be my witnesses. He said that you will go into all the world and preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. So we're going to look at that today, but before we get started, let's open in a word of prayer. Again, thanking my co-workers or my staff today, Robin, who is the producer of this particular program, Noah, Gabriella, Jewel, and Sarah, all working behind the scenes to make this possible. So let's begin by opening up in a word of prayer. Lord, we again thank you for this day. Thank you for our opportunity to bring your word. Thank you, Father, for the great commission and how you have chosen us to be your witnesses. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that, again, we emphasize mobilization. We're emphasizing the glory of God, that he would might be glorified on the earth through our witness and through our mission. We pray, Father, that you'll be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I quoted the verse earlier out of Acts chapter 1. Let's turn there if you have your Bibles with you, because that is where, after Jesus and his resurrection from the grave and after appearing to his disciples just before his ascension into heaven, he commanded, he commissioned, he appointed his disciples to go in all the world. And this is what he says: but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, even to the remote part of the earth. Now, when you look at the word witness, the word witness means people who tell the truth about Jesus Christ. And it also means one who dies for his faith. So what Jesus is saying is that you must be willing. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, you're going to be a witness for Christ, you must be willing to tell the truth about Jesus, not false gospel, not another gospel as spoken as in Galatians chapter 1, but the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his ascension, his deity, his sinlessness, those things that we read about in Scripture, that is what it means to be a witness. And also, let's not forget, he says you must be willing to die for your faith. And that was associated with many of the disciples, that they were willing to die for your faith. Now, think about this. When Jesus had given, when he gave the Great Commission, we see there at Pentecost, 3,000 souls got saved. Peter, Simon Peter, having been restored, preaches, and 3,000 individuals, Jews, from various Mediterranean basins, nations, are converted to faith in Jesus Christ. This is in 33 A.D. Now, in 34 A.D. in Gaza, Philip baptizes a convert, an Ethiopian eunuch that you read about in the book of Acts. Now, he was already a Jewish proselyte, but he was still had not heard of Christ. And Philip appeared to this Ethiopian eunuch, and he tells the truth about Jesus Christ, that he was, in fact, the Messiah spoken of in Isaiah 53, because it's a real story. He's there reading a gospel tract. He's reading an excerpt from the Old Testament. And that's why, guys, gospel tracts are so very important, because God will use his word. It never returns void. And so if someone really wants to know about Christ, they want to learn of him, the Lord is going to make sure there's going to be a witness, either a gospel tract or he will send a witness. Now, remember, Philip was at a revival in the church of Jerusalem, and God supernaturally transported him to that road where he met up with that Ethiopian eunuch. Then in 39, Peter preaches to the Gentile audience in the house of Cornelius. So you guys are familiar with Cornelius. This is where the Gentiles were engrafted in. In 42, Mark goes to Alexandria in Egypt. 47, Paul, formerly known as Saul of Tarsus, begins his missionary journey to western Turkey, is what is known today as Turkey, via Cyprus. In 50 A.D., the Council of Jerusalem on admitting Gentiles into the church. So they begin admitting Gentiles into the church. Paul begins his second missionary journey in 51, and this trip will take him through modern Turkey and on into Greece. In 52, Thomas arrives in Malabar and on the coast of India, where he founds a church that subsequently becomes a Syrian church. And in 54, Paul begins his third missionary journey. And then he's 60, he's sent to Rome under the Roman guard, and he evangelizes on Malta after the shipwreck. And then we learn about in 66, Thaddeus establishes the Christian Church of Armenia. And then if you go on to 80, and this is just a history of some of the witnesses, some of those who were sent out from Pentecost, sent out from the early church in Jerusalem, and what were their accomplishments. In 80, first Christian report in Tunisia and France. So we hear that the first Christians, there was a report of them being saved there in Tunisia and France, and that was in 80 A.D. So we see again here, Jesus tells us to go into the world and preach the gospel, and that's exactly what they did. Now, I read a story, and I'm kind of saddened by this story. There was a young man who was a missionary, and it just happened recently in Turkey, the same Turkey that was mentioned by Paul, saying Paul in his first missionary journey where he went to modern Turkey and the gospel was received. There's a story of a Christian living in Turkey. This missionary was tortured, and he was put to death. Actually, it was more than one. It says that three Christians who were martyred in Turkey last week were horribly tortured for 3 hours prior to them being killed. And this is a report that comes from Christians Today. Now, the thing is that the three Christians who were martyred in Turkey last week were horribly tortured for 3 hours prior to being killed. It says, according to the Washington, D.C.-based human rights group, International Christian Concern, the three were put through a horrific ordeal, which included multiple stabbings before finally being killed. So we see, and not to go into too much detail, because they get very specific, where these men were led, witnessing to a Muslim. They were basically set up by an individual, and when they arrived on the scene, they were tied at the point where they were stabbed a multitude of times. They were almost beheaded. Horrific things took place, but this was for the gospel's sake. And we were talking about being a witness that may happen. And that is worldwide Christianity right there. That is what goes on around the world, not necessarily in our westernized churches, because we kind of take Christianity or we leave it. But you see, worldwide, it may cost you your life. And we know about the disciples. Many of them were beaten. Many of them were martyred, all but one. John was the only one that was allowed to live. But we know that some were hacked to death, some were crucified upside down. You know, that was for following Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said this in Philippians 1:29, "For to you it has been given and been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his name's sake." So when you think about suffering, the greatest missionary ever lived, first missionary to come to preach the gospel, was Jesus Christ himself. And you think about the things that he experienced. When we read the history of Jesus and what he experienced according to Elmer Towns in his book, The Gospel of John, it says this about what Jesus experienced. "In this scourging, the prisoner was stripped of his clothing and bound to a low pillar or stake." And this is what took place for his crucifixion. After Jesus was falsely accused and tried illegally, they began to beat him, and they in the process of the Roman crucifixion, this is what Dr. Towns is elaborating on. He says, "The Roman whip consisted of a short handle which were attached leather thongs. Some of these had metal, stone, or lead balls attached to the end. Some were only leather with knotted ends." He says, "The lashes broke the skin, and many times the person's flesh was broken, or their entire back, or his entire back in this particular case, was a mass torn, bleeding tissue. He experienced this pain in order to redeem man from sin and from death. It was his willingness to bear our sin debt on the cross that led him to pay the ultimate price, death by crucifixion." Towns goes on to say that it involved trying or nailing the individual to the cross in such a way as to suspend the body by arms, resulting in a slow suffocation of the prisoner. So here again, we see Jesus Christ being the first missionary, but also Jesus Christ being an example for us to follow. So he was willing to die on that cross and to bear our sin debt so that we could follow him, so that we can also be proclaimers of the messenger. We are to be harbingers. We are to go into the world and to announce Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his coming again. And so let's look at some of the missionaries that in the 18th century and some of the individuals in the 19th century. When you think about Hudson Taylor, Hudson Taylor was a missionary in 1832 to China. He formed the China Inland Missionary Mission. Another individual was the Jetsons, Anne and Odoriam Jetson. They were missionaries in 1850. And you think about, we had William Carey in the early 1800s. He was a missionary to, believe, India. And also David Livingston, he was one of the greatest missionaries of them all in 1841. He was a missionary to Africa, and he formed the London Missionary Society. So here are examples of a multitude of missionaries who were willing to sacrificed their entire life to go into the world and to preach the gospel. And when you think about their history, and we'll cover some of that today, they lost wives, they lost children, they lost, separated themselves from their family. If you just think about David Livingston alone, his life in Africa was pretty amazing. He spent majority of his life in South Africa, and he was more of an explorer to a certain extent because he traveled over parts of Africa that were never traveled before. And because of his service, many people, many missionaries visited Africa and served there for a number of years. I think about William Carey, for another example. He was known as the father of missions, and while serving in India over 40 years, he would experience great suffering. Though he had abundant success, he was converted at an early age, became a lay preacher, and this is the beginning of his calling, where he was willing to give sacrifice his life. He became a lay preacher, serving in a small Baptist church, and he did this while making shoes. Now, it was during those years that he began to develop a heart for mission. And then he began communicating his visions in a booklet. He wrote a book titled An Inquiry into the Obligations of Christians to Use Means for the Conversion of the Heathen. So here, he began to kind of write his thoughts, his mission, his goals, and he put it in the book, and it began to spread, leading to the formation of the Baptist Ministry Society. Now, the thing was that Carey and his family, his wife, departed for India in 1793. But before they even left, they were beginning to experience great difficulties. In 1794, after settling there in India, his wife suffered the death of their five-year-old son. And she began to experience mental problems after the death of her son. Now, that part was that Carey's ministry was greatly hindered because of her mental disillusion. She would follow him as he was attempting to minister, and sadly, she would accuse him of immorality, having additional spouses or having additional relationships with other people. Now, the thing was is that he would spend 34 years of his life in poor India. Now, with the help of other missionaries, eventually, Carey was able to establish a Sephora mission where schools were organized, and he printed Bibles. He translated the Bible into different languages. He opened a college there in India. And then for the next 25 years, his ministry would produce hundreds of new converts and thousands attending his college. So the thing that we see going on here is that God used Livingston greatly because of his willingness to sacrifice, his willingness to give all, his willingness to be committed to the cause of Christ, to the work of Christ. Now the thing that we also know about Livingston is that says that he would go on to commit his ministry, including the fact that his family would be sacrificed. So after the death of his first wife, Livingston would marry a woman named Charlotte Rumbaugh, and then she would actually complete the family because his first wife was mentally deranged, according to some who labeled her that way. So the boys never really had an opportunity to really to know their mother because of the mental struggles that she had. But the thing was, after he married his second time, after 13 years of marriage, his second wife died, and this is all taking place where they were serving. Now, after the death of his comrade, because there was other missionaries that were helping him to achieve that, he would lose control of the mission agency that he started. And for the most part, after it was all said and done, after the many things that he experienced, he would impact two continents because of his commitment. Remember, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you must be willing to take your father, your mother, your brother, your sister. He says, even your own life, if you're going to be my disciple. And his willingness to do that impacted two continents, North America and England, where they began to mobilize missionaries to go into the various parts of the world. Now, that was just one example, guys. When you think about even the Moffat, or the Hudson Taylor, or, I mean, the list goes on and on. E.T. Studd, John R. Mott, the Taylors, for example, in 1858, would mobilize to go to China. And the thing about Hudson Taylor is that he was unique in that at the time you had missionaries who would live in compounds outside the inner parts of China. But what Hudson Taylor did is that he began to contextualize his evangelism, is that he would dress like the individuals, the native, the indigenous people, and he would wear their dress, he would color their hair, color his hair, and he would actually live where the people were, and he would learn the language. So the thing about Hudson Taylor, he would eventually organize a mission, and it would mobilize, the particular mission would mobilize to reach over 40 million people in China. That was his goal. Though he was uneducated, though he was ordained, at the age of 21, he was called to serve in China. Though he had some medical training at the time, he was sponsored by Chinese Evangelist or Chinese Evangelist Society. He would mobilize to go to China after adopting the dress and the culture. Hudson Taylor began ministering there. He would, at the time, in 1858, after experiencing extreme loneliness, he would marry a woman named Maria Dreyer. And then they would eventually have four children. And after serving there for a period of time, they would lose one of their children. Taylor lost a child at the age of 8 years old. Her name was Lisa Taylor. And this helped to unify the mission at the time, because they were struggling, they were having conflict. And because of the death of that child, they were able to resolve their differences and to continue serving there in China. Now, the thing is that Taylor experienced many things. There was an attack on the compound that where they were staying. And, you know, Taylor got to the point where he was criticized for his leadership, thoughts of suicide. In order to deal with some of the stress that they were experiencing, Taylor and his wife decided to send their children back to England. Sadly, he lost another child. A five-year-old son died from the anxiety of departing from their parents. And so, eventually, not long after their children departed, his wife, Maria Taylor, would become seriously ill while pregnant, and she would die, along with their unborn son, and she was only at the age of 33. So as we go through some of these missionaries, we see great suffering, great struggle for the cause of Christ. So as we consider our calling as Christian church, who Israel was set aside because of their unwillingness to make the one true God known. God wants to be glorified. And because of their unwillingness to make him known and their willingness to begin to associate with the other false religions and to become like them, God set them aside. He mobilized the church to be his witnesses. This is what Jesus has made to us, guys. We are go into the world and preach the gospel to all men. No matter what the sacrifice, what the struggle, no matter what the difficulty, we must be willing to all Christ. So this is the calling, guys. Just thank God for his willingness to count us faithful in that ministry. So as you heard Lecrae say, send me, now go. That applies to all of us. That's the woman of God. God bless.